I've Measured My Life in Coffee Spoons by Lost Lenore. Read by Hana Nobira. Cafe Vesuvio is what Big Carl likes to call a family establishment, which Alex strategically chooses to interpret as, this cafe is part of the Suban Empire, and not, Alex can't tell Brendan that his order is fucking bullshit. That's not very Christmassy of you, Brendan says, seemingly delighted by Alex's rudeness. I'm just a man, standing in front of another man, asking for a drinkable cup of coffee. This is stupid. Alex knows it's stupid. Still, a drinkable cup of coffee? He's a little bit insulted. Not that he cares what Brendan thinks. Brendan always drinks his coffee. I have literally never heard anyone order a mochaccino in the history of time. Literally? I don't have time to split semantic hairs with you, Alex seethes. Anyways, you stole that order from Zoolander. I refuse to make it on principle. Choose something else. He watches Brendan mouth, semantic hairs, with a smile that suggests he's about to start some shit real soon. And Alex feels a little guilty about committing a murder while wearing a Santa hat. 5% guilty, maybe. PK cornered him this morning and wrestled him into it, so it's not like he picked it out for himself. Then again, Brendan has a really nice mouth, so maybe like 10% guilt? What if I make you a regular mocha and write Chino on it? Alex is an adult. He can compromise. Plus, he thinks he's getting the hang of mochas. He's only caught two people dumping theirs into the potted plant next to the milk cart this afternoon, which is a personal best. Brendan pulls a wadded-up bill out of the abyss of his winter coat and slaps it down on the counter. Afraid of a little challenge? Alex stares down at Andrew Jackson's face, barely recognizable under the curly handlebar mustache crudely rendered in purple marker. Alex is afraid of a lot of things. Sharks? Seriously, fuck Jaws. The ocean is terrifying. Not being able to pay back his student loans before he's 80? The weird bulging suit bag in the back of the cooler that Carrie told him not to touch? He is not, however, afraid of a challenge. Especially a challenge from one Brendan Gallagher. Be prepared to have your mind blown. Alex snatches up the bill and runs to the storeroom, ready for some furious Google work, and absolutely not thinking about how his hand had, for one brief, awful moment, touched Brendan's. He finds Carrie slouching against the storeroom entrance, chewing on a toothpick. Behind him, Alex can hear the dulcet tones of PK and Max swearing softly, and the thud of something heavy being dragged across a concrete floor. Storeroom's off limits right now. Carrie pulls the fake yawn and stretch routine so that he's blocking the entire entrance. The movement pulls his jacket open, revealing a shoulder holster and a weapon that Alex has a feeling is not covered under conceal and carry. Carrie notices him noticing and tugs the jacket back in place. Alex looks at him, considering. You wouldn't happen to know what a mochaccino is, would you? Fancy name for a chocolate latte, Carrie says, after a moment of deep thought. And then, because he's the best manager, but also the worst. Do you need me to show you how to do the latte again? I've worked here for 3 years, Alex hisses. Carrie smirks. Don't forget the cinnamon stick. Alex remembers the fucking cinnamon stick, though he offsets it with a giant middle finger he draws in the foam. Aw, what a cute dog, Brendan says when he sees it. You forgot the rice milk, though. He has pretty eyes, Alex says to Malcolm a few days and a significant amount of vodka later, lying on the floor in their apartment. Malcolm laughs into the terrifyingly pink bottle of Moscato cradled in his lap. Eyes like a lens, mind like a shutter. Alex tries to puzzle that one out for a minute, but thinking too hard makes his head hurt. Or maybe that's the vodka? He's out of practice. It's rare that there's a night he's not stuck in the lab or working. And it's easy to leave his train of thought idling at the station. Plus, the vodka is watermelon flavored. Brendan would probably like it. He's small and sturdy, like a coffee table or a bomb shelter, Alex says after a long pause. Write that into your wedding vows. And he looks dumb. He wears these terrible sweaters. And I think he knits them himself. But he's also kind of really smart. Campus IT department. And knows stuff about computers. Brendan has glasses, too, Alex remembers. Because when he'd come in wearing them last month, Alex had spilled a bag of beans across the floor in shock. And dislodged a gun tucked in the lining, which he'd scrambled to hide under the sink before Brendan could spot it. Like a sexy Steve Jobs. Yes. No? Alex frowns down at the bottle in his hands. I should have known turtlenecks would get you hot, Malcolm muses. Says the man whose hookshot knocked him unconscious. Malcolm should have more sympathy. This is all his fault. Sophomore year, when the rest of the Subban clan was mysteriously called out of the country on business, Alex invited Malcolm to Galchenyuk Thanksgiving and spent the entire weekend harassed by his mother for not telling her he was dating anyone. Malcolm had found the misunderstanding highly amusing until Anna had cornered him to give him the "treat him well or I fit you for concrete shoes" talk. Her knowledge of body disposal had been both impressively thorough and frightening. This is all your fault. If only Alex hadn't been broke. If only Malcolm's family had stuck around for Thanksgiving. If only Alex's mother hadn't thought lab partners was code for secret gay tryst. If only Malcolm hadn't felt like he owed Alex a favor for the rigorous interrogation Alex's family had put him through. That wasn't a no on the turtlenecks. Malcolm plows ahead with a casual disregard for facts that would make him a stellar businessman. As a student of chemical engineering, it's just sort of terrifying. I was talking about the Brendan thing. Brendan wears turtlenecks? No wonder you're crying on me again. This happens every time you get drunk. You wax poetic about Brendan's eyelashes and how much you want to lick his neck, then cry over a walk to remember. He's so handsome, Malcolm. When will Nicholas Sparks write a movie about my life, Malcolm? Mandy Moore is an underrated actress, Malcolm. His Russian accent is predictably terrible. I don't sound like that, Alex pinches him. When will he take me in his big, strong arms and make sweet, sweet frappes with me, Malcolm? Malcolm coos, right before Alex puts him in a headlock. Big Carl insists on closing the cafe Sunday, so Mondays they have a fairly steady stream of loyal customers. Most of them seem to patronize Cafe Vesuvio as some sort of favor to Big Carl, which Alex thinks is weird, but tactfully doesn't comment on. Some of them leave messages for PK or for Carrie, slipping envelopes into the books on the coffee table when they think Alex isn't looking. Others, like Max, Plecky, and Markov, just toss out a wave or a greeting and head straight to the conference room upstairs. Usually they look like they've just escaped a bar fight. On one memorable occasion, Max came in sporting a tux and a black eye. Alex has less than a month until graduation. He's not actually sure he wants to know when it comes down to it. At any rate, the regulars all know that the fake begonias next to the milk fridge are where you dump your coffee if you don't actually want it. And most of them don't malign the coffee within Alex's hearing. The tips are decent. The schedule is flexible. If most baristas aren't trained to sweep for bugs when they open, well, Alex isn't going to tell Carrie that. The cafe had been quiet all day. The fact that Carrie had to spend the morning scrubbing graffiti off of the front doors wearing an offensively crocheted reindeer sweater may or may not have had something to do with this. Max and PK had hustled Alex inside before he could catch more than a large blood-red B marked through with a half dozen lines, like spokes on a wheel. Despite Carrie's certainty that all would be taken care of, Alex finds himself worried. The cafe isn't exactly located in the safest part of town, but they've never been the target of anything like this before. PK rudely interrupted his thoughts by attempting to sing Love on Top, with unsuccessful key changes. In theory, PK held ownership of Cafe Vesuvio. He was the eldest son and heir apparent to the Suban empire of business parks, gyms, and shops scattered across the tri-state area. In practice, Carrie managed the business just as he managed PK's life and Alex's. PK had commandeered a booth in the back under the pretense of being very busy and important. This meant that Alex, who had wrapped all the silverware in the cafe this morning out of boredom, was left with no escape. Oh, is that hot chocolate? PK pauses in his caterwauling as Alex slides into the booth opposite him. Oh, wait. Already got some. He points to himself and goes in for a high five. When Alex does nothing but stare at him blankly, he high-fives himself and swipes the cup out of Alex's hands. It's a calming tea, Alex says pointedly. Excellent. I can read you your fortune in tea leaves then. The drink is too hot for PK to do more than slurp at the rim of the cup. He hums. I'm sensing that you're being a dick today. Probably because you went to Malcolm for boy advice instead of me. He does have the benefit of not being my boss. PK snorts. Please, Carrie is your boss. He's not even subtle about forging my signature on your checks anymore. And right now, I've got nothing but time. He sinks back into the booth with a lazy sprawl. You can't be serious. Alex thinks there are rules against this kind of thing in the employee handbook. Then again, the employee handbook doesn't cover the bag of fake passports Alex had stumbled upon this morning during inventory. He hadn't looked at them, just shoved them back into the box of biodegradable filters from whence they'd come, and continued on his way. Alex, I'm always serious when it comes to affairs of the heart. The love doctor is in. Alex needs to head this off at the pass. No. The love doctor is out, and frankly, I want to see where he got his med school degree. Aha! So you admit it's love, PK crows with delight. Brendan seems like a nice guy, but tell me more, like does he have a car? The last bit is sung for added effect. I never said it was Brendan, Alex tries to protest, but it's weak and they both know it. No, but really, if he has a car, I know a guy who knows a guy that can run the plates, PK begins to offer, when the door chimes and Brendan saunters in. PK reluctantly releases Alex from his clutches. Save me, Alex whispers to Brendan up at the register. PK is trying to give me love advice. Brendan leans in close, and even under the terrible fluorescent lights, his eyes are very blue. Love advice, he says in an odd voice. Was that your word or his? Alex can feel his entire face burning. Hidden back at his and Malcolm's apartment is a list of the pros and cons of Alex asking out Brendan Gallagher, IT nerd in residence. The results had boiled down to A, Alex is a coward, and B, Alex is spectacularly bad at casual relationships. Brendan's still looking at him intently, but Alex can't speak. Brendan gives his hand a quick squeeze. Okay, how about a decaf soy latte with an extra shot of espresso and cream? Alex blinks. Doesn't the cream sort of defeat the purpose of the soy milk? Probably. Brendan scrubs a frustrated hand over his face. I just thought that if it was long and ridiculous enough, you could avoid talking about your feelings. Alex does, the most noble thing of his 23 years of living, and bites back the obvious innuendo there. It was a nice thought. He wonders how much of Brendan's over-the-top coffee has been him trying to hold Alex's attention. How about I get you some tea on the house? And we can pretend like I'm making your disgusting and nonsensical coffee. I'd like that, Brendan says with a smile that warms Alex all the way down to his toes. And when he hops up to sit on the counter, Alex only yells at him a little. Alex just wants to graduate. The end of the semester is so close. He only has one more round of finals left ever before he can get his hands on his diploma. Cafe Vesuvio seems to have other plans. Something's happening, Alex says on Thursday through a haze of sleepiness. Carrie won't tell me anything, but I know something's up. He hasn't tried to teach me self-defense in months. Brendan had come in just in time to see Patches and Plucky rush out carrying a suspiciously heavy duffel bag between them. His order of a, quote, deconstructed latte with two shots of cinnamon dolce, end quote, was a half-hearted attempt at distraction, and he'd accepted the cup full of whipped cream Alex had handed him with grace. He stretched over the counter again, rubbing soothing circles into Alex's wrists. That sounds bad. How about I walk you home? His hands worry over the knobs in Alex's wrist, but he has a determined set to his mouth. The odds that whatever criminals are ignorant enough to target the cafe will be intimidated by 5'8" Brendan, straight out of Edmonton, Gallagher, in his sweater vest, are minuscule. Alex can handle himself just fine. Yeah, Alex hears himself say. That would be great. Thanks. 2 days later, someone throws a rock through the front window of the cafe. PK, betraying his carefree appearance, helps Carrie canvas the perimeter before telling Alex to call a cab and go home. Alex stands rooted to the spot, staring at the broken glass scattered across the floor. The hole is about the size of his head. The scope of Alex's worries seem disproportionate to what's happening in front of him. He has a 15-page paper to turn in on Monday and still hasn't bought his graduation gown. His socks don't match, he needs to renew his library books, and Malcolm wants him to pick up kale on the way home for some unfathomable reason. The B logo from last week's graffitied doors is bright and wet from where someone sprayed it on the rock, right before they launched it through the cafe window. That the cafe is officially closed doesn't stop things from being unusually busy over the next hour, with people coming in from all over the neighborhood to ask about the window and check in on Alex, asking mildly probing questions. Alex tries to answer them as vaguely as possible, which isn't difficult, since he has no idea what is happening. Carrie finds him repairing the hole in the glass, and Alex nearly jumps out of his skin at the contact. I thought we told you to go home, Carrie says kindly. The bags under his eyes are nearly as big as Alex's, and when he pries the tape out of Alex's hands, Alex notices his knuckles are bruised and bleeding. Your hands! Alex starts, and then stutters to a stop when Carrie produces a wicked hunting knife and a can of mace out of nowhere. Believe me when I say I've seen worse, Carrie deadpans. I called your beau to come pick you up. Let us handle this. PK and Markov appear behind him, arguing in hushed tones. PK looks every bit as dangerous in a suit as Alex thought he would. His smile turns knife sharp when he spots Alex. And Alex wonders if Malcolm has a smile like that, keen and bloody. We've got this rat bastard, Markov tries to assure him. Bruins won't know what the fuck hit them. Go team, Alex laughs weakly. Max pulls up in a screech of tires and lays on the horn. He rolls down the windows of the gleaming black caddy and shouts at them to hurry up, he's in a tow zone. They pile into the car, Carrie with one last backward glance and the I'm watching you sign, which makes Alex huff out a laugh. Brendan's there less than 5 minutes later, clearly having run across campus. Alex wonders how Carrie even got his phone number. "Sorry," Brendan pants, sweat beating across his forehead. "I just need to breathe for a second. Ow." "Stop apologizing for breathing. I'll make you a cup of coffee and then we'll lock up." Alex unwinds Brendan's scarf and peels off his jacket so he doesn't die of heat exhaustion. Brendan blinks up at Alex through his thick black reading glasses that he must have forgotten to take off in his haste to rush over. Alex starts to take them off too. They've got to be making Brendan a little dizzy by now, when he realizes what he's doing and stops. "I think I'd better make the coffee," Brendan says after a pause where they both sort of get lost staring at each other. "Can you do it without maiming yourself? This week has been really shitty. The last thing we need is OSHA on our doorstep." "I'll try my best," Brendan says with worrying solemnity. Alex takes out the trash, locks the back door, and slowly coaxes his heart rate back to something approaching normal. He likes the formality of checking tasks off the list of closing chores, and the sound of the steamer puttering along makes for soothing background noise. He doesn't actually think about what it means until he gets back to the counter and Brendan sets a cup down in front of him. "Zero maiming required," he says proudly. Alex watches, hardly believing his eyes, as he draws a perfect heart in the foam. The coffee is just the right temperature for drinking, a trick Alex has never mastered. When he tastes it, it's perfectly bittersweet. "I used to work here back when I was an undergrad," Brendan admits. Alex doesn't think he can be blamed for kissing him then, leaning in to tangle his fingers in Brendan's hair. "So are you, like, the backup with secret kung fu skills?" Brendan asks when they break apart. It takes Alex a minute to work out what the fuck he's talking about. "Sorry to disappoint you, but I'm actually just the barista." "Really? I mean, between the whole Russian thing and the god-awful coffee, I thought..." Brendan trails off. He's got a bit of foam on the side of his mouth, probably from Alex's mouth. "I'm from Wisconsin," he sighs. "That hotbed of Russian mafia activity. And you're the one who kept coming back for that god-awful coffee." "Yeah, definitely for the coffee." Brendan's fingers seek purchase in Alex's shirt, and he reels him in for another knee-weakening kiss. They're in a bit of a hurry to get home. Alex had texted Malcolm, "Evacuate immediately or risk seeing Brendan's penis," in a panic, to which Malcolm's response was nothing but eggplant emojis. Alex takes this to mean he's hiding in the library. So Alex isn't paying as much attention as he should when the man approaches them outside the cafe. He's not big, but he's bulky, with a rough, mean face and nose that looks like it's seen a few good fights. He's carrying a gallon of kerosene in one hand, and there's a small flash of metal in his other hand that Alex would bet anything is a lighter. Brendan stumbles into the guy and makes an apologetic noise, but not before Alex catches the edges of a spoke-wheeled tattoo peeking out of his collar next to a number 63. The man catches Alex looking, and Alex gulps. "You!" is all he manages to get out before the guy takes a swing at him. Carrie had taught Alex a number of things during his mandatory new employee training: how to spot counterfeit bills from most NATO countries, how to work the steam wand without burning his entire arm off, how to take a hit and still come up swinging. The last one is a muscle memory independent from his brain. Alex's brain is a mixture of, "Fuck, shit, that really hurt," and, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." His body knows how to drive the palm of his hand up hard enough to slam the man's head against the wall, and then crouch low enough to toss him across the sidewalk in a poor man's judo throw. "Holy shit!" Brendan gapes at Alex. "That was the hottest thing I've ever seen! You totally went all Jason Bourne on his ass!" His fingers flit around Alex's frame, checking for damage. "You know what would be really hot? If you called PK so he could come deal with this," Alex says, disposing of the lighter and kerosene in a nearby dumpster. Are you sure you don't work for Big Carl? Brendan presses, phone already to his ear. Because if you're not, I think he should make you an offer. I really just want to graduate, Alex says, for what feels like the 1,000th time today. No one seems to appreciate that. Still really hot, though, Brendan concedes, and kisses him again. The chem department's graduation isn't exactly the hottest ticket on campus, so to say Alex wasn't expecting much when they called his name is an understatement. The sudden obnoxious burst of cowbells and whistles bowls him over. The dean of student affairs has to grab Alex's elbow to keep him from tipping over in shock. PK, Carrie, Max, Patches, Marky, and Brendan are standing in the back row waving signs and jumping around like idiots. Even a few of the regulars have turned up for the occasion, whooping and yelling with the best of them. PK's sign says, "A hug without you is like mercury." Brendan simply reads, "Nickel, cerium, arsenic, sulfur." Alex grabs the diploma before the university can reconsider. "You did good," Carrie says later, when administration finally takes mercy and releases everyone from their thrall. He's smiling his not-quite-there smile, the one that means he's secretly pleased. PK shakes his head. "You missed it, but Pricey was crying a little earlier, telling everyone how proud of you he was." He leans in like he's letting Alex in on a secret. "He brought out his best cowboy boots just for the occasion." "Lies and slander," Carrie says, still smiling. He abandons Alex to Max and Patches, who slap him heartily on the back and mess up his hair. Marky plants a sloppy kiss on his forehead and says something in Russian that has Alex flushing in embarrassment. "Hey now." A familiar hand rests on Alex's elbow. "Let's not forget the most important thing here." Alex turns and finds Brendan, resplendent in argyle and the glasses Alex shyly admitted he likes just the night before. He's listing to one side, weighed down as he is by an embarrassing amount of lays made from single-dollar bills. "For the strip club later," he explains, and then kisses Alex on the nose before Alex can work up a proper rage. "Congratulations, Boo. You worked hard for this." Brendan's total sincerity is briefly disarming. Alex bites his lip against a sarcastic response. His pause allows the guys to start heaping lays over him with worrying enthusiasm until Alex can no longer turn his head. He's smiling, though, at their obvious love for him. Each pass of their hands over his head or pinch to his cheeks reaffirms it. "You are loved." "A little help here?" Brendan whines. Everything but the top of his head is obscured by the lays. "Team effort," he hears Patches say, and then a series of grunts before Brendan's face pops into view once more. "God, are you actually made of bricks?" Max gripes from down below. "Hurry it up, lover boy." PK starts humming the Jeopardy song. "Ditch these losers and come back to mine," Brendan whispers hot in his ear. "I'll make the coffee." "What about the strip club?" Alex teases. "It'll keep," Brendan says, and then slips him some tongue, before Max and Patches threaten to drop his ungrateful ass back on the floor. The end.